Law 33. Discover each man's thumbscrew. Judgment. Everyone has a weakness, a gap in the castle wall. That weakness is usually an insecurity, an uncontrollable emotion or need. It can also be a small secret pleasure. Either way, once found, it is a thumbscrew you can turn to your advantage. Finding the thumbscrew, a strategic plan of action. We all have resistances. We live with a perpetual armor around ourselves to defend against change and the intrusive actions of friends and rivals. We would like nothing more than to be left to do things our own way. Constantly butting up against these resistances will cost you a lot of energy. One of the most important things to realize about people, though, is that they all have a weakness, some part of their psychological armor that will not resist, that will bend to your will if you find it and push on it. Some people wear their weaknesses openly, others disguise them. Those who disguise them are often the ones most effectively undone through that one chink in their armor. In planning your assault, keep these principles in mind. Pay attention to gestures and unconscious signals. As Sigmund Freud remarked, no mortal can keep a secret. If his lips are silent, he chatters with his fingertips. Betrayal oozes out of him at every pore. This is a critical concept in the search for a person's weakness. It is revealed by seemingly unimportant gestures and passing words. The key is not only what you look for, but where and how you look. Everyday conversation supplies the richest mine of weaknesses, so train yourself to listen. Start by always seeming interested. The appearance of a sympathetic ear will spur anyone to talk. A clever trick, often used by the 19th century French statesman Talleyrand, is to appear to open up to the other person, to share a secret with them. It can be completely made up, or it can be real, but of no great importance to you. The important thing is that it should seem to come from the heart. This will usually elicit a response that is not only as frank as yours, but more genuine, a response that reveals a weakness. If you suspect that someone has a particular soft spot, probe for it indirectly. If, for instance, you sense that a man has a need to be loved, openly flatter him. If he laps up your compliments, no matter how obvious, you are on the right track. Train your eye for details, how someone tips a waiter, what delights a person, the hidden messages in clothes. Find people's idols, the things they worship and will do anything to get. Perhaps you can be the supplier of their fantasies. Find the helpless child. Most weaknesses begin in childhood, before the self builds up compensatory defenses. Perhaps the child was pampered or indulged in a particular area, or perhaps a certain emotional need went unfulfilled. As he or she grows older, the indulgence or the deficiency may be buried, but never disappears. Knowing about a childhood need gives you a powerful key to a person's weakness. One sign of this weakness is that when you touch on it, the person will often act like a child. Be on the lookout, then, for any behavior that should have been outgrown. If your victims or rivals went without something important, such as parental support when they were children, supply it, or its facsimile. If they reveal a secret taste, a hidden indulgence, indulge it. In either case, they will be unable to resist you. Look for contrasts. An overt trait often conceals its opposite. People who thump their chests are often big cowards. A prudish exterior may hide a lascivious soul. The uptight are often screaming for adventure. The shy are dying for attention. By probing beyond appearances, you will often find people's weaknesses in the opposite of the qualities they reveal to you. Find the weak link. Sometimes in your search for weaknesses, it is not what, but who that matters. In today's versions of the court, there is often someone behind the scenes who has a great deal of power, a tremendous influence over the person superficially on top. These behind-the-scenes power brokers are the group's weak link. Win their favor, and you indirectly influence the king. Alternatively, even in a group of people acting with the appearance of one will, as when a group under attack closes ranks to resist an outsider, there is always a weak link in the chain. Find the one person who will bend under pressure. Fill the void. The two main emotional voids to fill are insecurity and unhappiness. The insecure are suckers for any kind of social validation. As for the chronically unhappy, look for the roots of their unhappiness. The insecure and the unhappy are the people least able to disguise their weaknesses. The ability to fill their emotional voids is a great source of power and an indefinitely prolongable one. Feed on uncontrollable emotions. The uncontrollable emotion can be a paranoid fear, a fear disproportionate to the situation, or any base motive such as lust, greed, vanity, or hatred. People in the grip of these emotions often cannot control themselves, and you can do the controlling for them. Observance of the law. Arabella Huntington, wife of the great late 19th century railroad magnate Collis P. Huntington, came from humble origins and always struggled for social recognition among her wealthy peers. When she gave a party in her San Francisco mansion, few of the social elite would show up. Most of them took her for a gold digger, not their kind. Because of her husband's fabulous wealth, art dealers courted her, but with such condescension, they obviously saw her as an upstart. Only one man of consequence treated her differently, the dealer Joseph Duveen. For the first few years of Duveen's relationship with Arabella, he made no effort to sell expensive art to her. Instead, he accompanied her to fine stores, chatted endlessly about queens and princesses he knew, on and on. At last, she thought, a man who treated her as an equal, even a superior, in high society. Meanwhile, if Duveen did not try to sell art to her, he did subtly educate her in his aesthetic ideas, namely, that the best art was the most expensive art. And after Arabella had soaked up his way of seeing things, Duveen would act as if she always had exquisite taste, even though before she met him, her aesthetics had been abysmal. When Collis Huntington died in 1900, Arabella came into a fortune. She suddenly started to buy expensive paintings by Rembrandt and Velasquez, for example, and only from Duveen. Years later, Duveen sold her Gainsborough's Blue Boy for the highest price ever paid for a work of art at the time, an astounding purchase for a family that previously had shown little interest in collecting. Interpretation. Joseph Duveen instantly understood Arabella Huntington and what made her tick. She wanted to feel important, at home in society. Intensely insecure about her lower-class background, she needed confirmation of her new social status. Duveen waited. Instead of rushing into trying to persuade her to collect art, he subtly went to work on her weaknesses. He made her feel that she deserved his attention not because she was the wife of one of the wealthiest men in the world, but because of her own special character, and this completely melted her. Duveen never condescended to Arabella. Rather than lecturing to her, he instilled his ideas in her indirectly. The result was one of his best and most devoted clients, and also the sale of the Blue Boy. People's need for validation and recognition, their need to feel important, is the best kind of weakness to exploit. First, it is almost universal. Second, exploiting it is so very easy. All you have to do is find ways to make people feel better about their taste, their social standing, their intelligence. Once the fish are hooked, you can reel them in again and again for years. You are filling a positive role, giving them what they cannot get on their own. They may never suspect that you are turning them like a thumbscrew, and if they do, they may not care, because you are making them feel better about themselves, and that is worth any price.